only got one point out this morning. And, of course, I had a few sub-points to that one point, but I only got that one point out. And I appreciate the Lord helping us. We talked this morning from Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, "Blessed are all they that wait for Him." That includes me, and it includes you, and it does not exclude anybody. My circumstance is different. You don't understand where I am, what I'm going through. Sounds sort of like Asaph in Psalm 73 when he said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to as such as are of a clean heart." There's the principle. But in verse 2 he said, "But as for me, my feet had well nigh slipped. My steps were almost gone." In other words, God's good to everybody else, but somehow or another, the rule, the law, the principle from God, it didn't apply in my life. But that's not so. And Asaph came before the chapter was done in Psalm 73 to realize that it wasn't so. And he said, "How foolish was I and ignorant." He said, "It's good for me to draw nigh near unto our God." Matter of fact, then we see in Isaiah 30 and 18 that blessed are all they that wait for Him. That includes you and me and my family and yours. Everybody that would wait on God to do what He wants to do in their lives. To eagerly and anxiously anticipate what He's doing, but faithfully serve Him and wait on Him to do it. Do exactly what He's laid on your heart and serve Him and what He's given you to do until He gives you something else. Amen. Serve in your last orders until you get your next orders. I remember Brother Hanley Milby telling about how when he was in the military in Fort Knox, Kentucky, and they told him, said that he had heard the rumors coming around that they'd soon be shipping out to Korea, and some said they'd be going to Germany, and others said they'd be going to Hawaii. And he said, "I didn't know where we was going, but I'd heard all these rumors and things." He said one day he ran into the captain down to PX, and he asked him, said, "Are we going? When are we?" He said, "I figured for sure it's Korea." So he asked him, said, "When are we shipping out to Korea?" He said, "What do you mean shipping out to Korea?" He said, "Well, I heard it's going to be Korea or Germany or maybe to Hawaii, but we're shipping out here for long." He said, "Private, what were your last orders?" He said, "Well, my last orders was to stay here at Fort Knox and wait on my next orders." He said, "Well, I guess you best get back to your bunk and get your bags unpacked and wait until you hear from headquarters before you do anything." Amen. And that's the way it is in your Christian life. We are to carry out our last orders until we get our next orders. Noah built the ark and continued in his ark building until God gave him his next orders. And He didn't give him his next orders until he had completed his last orders. And so as we wait on the Lord, we work. We occupy until Jesus comes. We occupy. That is, we continue doing business. And then we're patient also unto the coming of the Lord. And then when God comes on the scene in our lives and He directs us into the next step, we can carry on in the next step because we were faithful in the last step. And we talked this morning about waiting on the Lord and the definite must of waiting. We have to wait on God if we're to have Him to be pleased with our lives. If He's to bless us, it's not a suggestion. It is a command. It's a requirement that we wait on the Lord. One of the hardest things in the world to do, it is the thing probably that tests our faith most, but it's also the thing that demonstrates and develops and puts on display our faith unto the world. Matter of fact, there's a verse here that I was reading this afternoon. If I want to, find it here, and I don't do this very often, but I 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 15, he said, "For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Thus is, for so is the will of God, that with well doing, with doing right, with living right, with doing what God has directed in your life to do, with being obedient to the Lord, with occupying, serving, carrying out the orders God has put in your life, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know how you call foolish people, ignorant people, folks that don't know nothing about God, church, and the Bible. You know how you convince them, my friend, concerning the faith.
them and beating them up and verbally abusing them and, my friend, trying to pressure them into living right or doing right or making a confession, or, my friend, using some sort of psychological technique or tactic to try to pin them into a corner and verbally and mentally assenting to the truths that you live your life by. But you'll convince them and you'll close the mouths of ignorant and foolish men by living for God and by doing what's right. And, my friend, that's how you'll convince folks. Them watching your life, seeing your testimony. Why, my Lord, how in the world can you expect your family that's lost and don't know God to trust in the Lord for their salvation when you don't even trust in Him for your sustenance every day? If you learn to trust in God for every day, if you can learn to trust in Him to give us this day our daily bread, then you can convince them, friend, that He's the bread of life. And if they'll taste of Him and eat of Him, then they'll never die. But unless they can see in you that daily, waiting upon the Lord, serving God, occupying until Jesus comes, then they'll never be inspired to faith and to belief. Do you realize faith is an inspirational thing? Faith is a thing that stirs others. Amen. I mean, we see that in the life of Timothy, don't we? Now, I know I'm away from that line. I'll come back in just a minute, but we see it in the life of Timothy. Paul said, I saw that unfeigned faith. He said, I saw it in your mother, and I saw it in your grandmother, and I'm convinced, Timothy, it is in thee also. Timothy, you watched your mom and your grandma, and that they were great giants of faith, and I'm convinced it has inspired you to do the same in living for God. Do you know anybody that's inspired you by their faith? Do you know somebody that you've watched their lives, and they've so walked with God, and they've so waited on God, and they've so lived for God, that it's caused you down in your heart to hunger for God, to desire after God, to want God in your life? I want to be that kind of person. I want my life to be an inspiration. Hey, friend, and I have learned, Brother John, when I was a young Christian, when I was just a young man, it was those who I saw around me sometimes that had some sort of flare or flash about them that inspired me. But as time has gone by, I've become much more inspired and impressed by folks that are consistent. I mean, they just live for God every day. People just serve God every day. I'd watch my little great-granny living in that old barn of a house that she lived in. Wasn't fit for dogs to live in. Wasn't fit for a cow stable. And she lived in that little old house, three-fourths of the time about freezing. And my friend, in the wintertime, and they didn't even have a decent door latched, my friend, on there like a barn. But she loved God, served God, and had God in her heart and all over her life. And she inspired me. She had joy in her heart. She didn't have much of nothing, but she had. And she had a pump organ set over the corner of the house. And that was her prized possession. And she'd play that old pump organ and sing, Jesus, lover of my soul. Ask her, has anybody been by to see you today? Well, she said, I haven't had much company. But about 3:30, there's somebody come stepping in the room while I was singing and said, he sat down and talked with me a little while. Oh, thank God. It was the Lord, and we had a good conversation. I tell you, folks, like that inspired me. I want to be one that will inspire others and to live by faith and occupy and, my friend, be seen waiting patiently for the Lord. Amen. Carrying out diligently daily, my friend, the duties of God has laid on my life. And if everybody notices, anybody notices, or nobody notices, I want to just do what's right. Amen. Brother John told about it in Sunday school. When nobody's watching, watch and God's watching. And the Lord will promote you for doing right when nobody else is around. Amen. Somebody said, well, what I've said, I thought about this morning. I thought about this portion of the message. Brother John's talking about that coat that Joseph left behind in the hands of Potiphar's wife. She said, this coat is evidence to the wrongdoing of a Joseph and what he has done in attacking me. But Joseph knew better. That coat was evidence to him that he had done right, even though nobody else was around. I thank God to take some evidence that you may not know about, and the world may not know about, and the public may not know about. But I'm glad God's put some evidence in my life that I know about at the times I've served Him and done what's right. And now and again when I get discouraged, and the devil comes along and says, there's no use. And the devil said, ain't nothing to you anyway. And what you got's just habit. The Lord and the Holy Ghost says, it ain't habit, it's a hope. It ain't habit, it's an inhabitation. It ain't habit, it's a Holy Ghost feeling. Amen. And He lets me see the coat and reminds me, everybody might not know, but I know. Everybody might not know, but you know. I mean, live right, do right, wait on God. Serve God if it's in solitude. Or my friend in the crowd, just occupy. Occupy, do business. Live for God, build an ark until Jesus comes. Amen. That's exactly right. The definite must of waiting. We've got to just wait on the Lord. Now I'm trying to just pick up where we left off this morning, which ain't real easy for me to do. I want to re-preach what I already preached. But that doesn't take me too long and I'm wore out now. Anyhow, amen. That's exactly right. But y'all have found out over the years being worn out does not make me preach shorter. It just makes me preach slower. Amen. That's exactly right. I saw chapter 46 and verse number 10 said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. That term be still means to take your hands off of it, to let go of it, to put it out of your control, to quit working on it. You know what God's doing so to us? How many times when we're waiting on God, He's trying to get us to let go of it. To be still. Amen. If you're going to know He's God, you got to quit handling everything. You got to trust Him to handle it for you. I mean, listen, hey, I'm not real good at working with people on some things. I mean, some tasks I'd just rather do all by myself. I like to work, and I like to work by myself. I know folks that enjoy working with people. I enjoy working without people. Amen. And I'll get to working and somebody wants to help. You know how that goes. They want to help. And I'm thinking, my Lord, if they'd quit helping, I could have already been done a long time ago. I was here a while back. My dad helped me move some furniture. And I thought he was going to kill me. He always wouldn't stop and set it down. Why, that's a killing me every time you set it down. You got to pick it back up again. Why, it's easier just to drag it where you're going and get it over with. Instead, we had to pick it up and set it down 75 times. Had to get it where it was going, not to kill me. I mean, friends, somebody wants to help. You know what feeling I get when somebody's helping me? I want to say, just stop now. Let go of it. Take your stinking hands off of it and let me do it. Amen. You know what we're doing a lot of time while we're waiting on God? He's sitting up in heaven looking at us and saying, be still now. Take your hands off of it. Let go of it and let me do it. And while we're like Abraham forcing the issue and trying to do on our own, God's wanting to work something special in our lives if we just be still and know that He's God. And when He gets done, it'll not be because you've done so good and if things turned out as they did. He'll work it so that no flesh can glory Sometimes he got to let stuff get worse so he can get better, so he can work a miracle to make it better. Amen. That's right. And while you think he ain't doing nothing, you may not be able to see what he's doing, but he's still doing. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank God. Just wait on the Lord. He might show up 4 days late, but when he gets there, it'll still be on time. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank God. Oh, hey. Wait on the Lord. Blessed are all they that wait for him. There's a definite must of waiting. And then we'll try to pick up where we left off this morning here. There is a divine might through waiting. That's in our text verses here that we're talking about. Where you have your Bibles open in Isaiah chapter number 40. There's divine might through waiting. Blessed are all those that wait for him. There's blessedness in waiting. And this blessedness is seen in renewed strength. Notice the source of the might. In the verse number 31, but they that wait upon the Lord. The source of the might is the Lord. Our power, my friend, is not by might, that is our own strength, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If you ever do anything that's worthwhile, you'll do it through God. In me that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. But I'm glad he lives in me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't even live, friend. I died way back under 22 years ago. Oh, but he that lives in me, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And now he lives in me. Hey, friend, and life abides in me. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Anything's happening in my life, it's because he's doing it in me. All my strength, all my power, all my finability, it's his, it's not mine. I'm weak, the flesh is weak, but thank God the Spirit indeed is ready. Thank God. Oh, and willing, and I bless his name for that. He'll both allow you and enable you to serve him and to walk with him and to live for him. The source of our strength is the Lord. I'm looking unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The source of the might, we wait upon the Lord. Notice the description of his person in chapter 40 and verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Are you tired tonight? Are you weary this evening? Has your flesh worn? Do you feel exhausted in spirit? Spirit and in soul. I mean, are you just weary in well doing? Are you tired in the way? Have you not heard? Do you not know Jesus isn't tired? He's not grown weary. He's not run out of strength. Woo! Were we to be serving a God like us, we'd be in trouble when he got wore out. If you're running on the strength of the preacher, you're in sad shape tonight. And because I'm pretty tired, you've been in sad shape for quite a while. Because I've been pretty tired for quite a while. Last couple of years, I've spent most days thinking how to get to one next foot in front of the last foot. And I've had some days where I've been sick and I'm not sick no more. I'm just saying that the weariness of the flesh, I will set in. We're human beings. And if that does happen, oh, friend, woo! But God ain't never been tired. And God's never grown weary. And my strength is in him. And when I'm weak, it is then that he makes me strong. I tell you, he'll give you strength to stand. He'll bolster you. He'll scotch you up. And my friend, and help you when you think you can't go another mile to stand your ground.
Amen.
the description of his person. Have you not heard? Do you not know that he's not tired? He's not sick. He's not old. His hair's not gray and his hands are not feeble. Amen. He's not taking medication or vitamins and he's not wearing out. He's not even in need of a nap. Amen. Oh, did Elijah mob the prophets of Baal and said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he's gone on a trip or a vacation. Maybe he's got hard of hearing. Oh, but I'm glad we have a God who never slumbers nor sleeps. And his ear's not heavy that he cannot hear. Neither is his hand distorted that he cannot save. I bless his high and holy name for it. Well, friend, you troubled? Something keeping you up at night? I tell it to Jesus. He's not going to go to sleep anyhow. He's sitting up all night waiting to hear from you. Just tell it to Jesus. Don't call me. If I can sleep, I am. I mean, if I can sleep, I am, buddy. I don't sleep a lot, but when I can sleep, I do. So don't call me in the middle of the night. Whatever it is, I'm probably going to wait till morning. Somebody said, but so-and-so's dead. They still going to be dead in the morning. Amen. And I'm telling you that now before somebody dies. That way you don't get upset every when they die. Amen. They'll still be dead in the morning. That's right. And I'll come over in the morning. If you really need me, come at night and get me out of bed. Because I turn the phone off. Amen. I mean, if you really got to have me, you'll have to knock on the door. Because I turn the phone off at night. But if you need to talk to somebody, and Jesus is going to be up all night, and you can tell it to Jesus, he's waiting to hear from you, and he wants to talk with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Well, the description of his person, he's not tired, he's not weary. And then notice the demonstration of his power in the latter part of verse 28. He said, there's no searching of his understanding. He's so deep. He's so powerful. He's so great. Not only did he get a good, my friend, a clean report, a clean bill of health in the first part of the verse, but then we see his power on display in the last part of the verse. It's so great that we don't even know how deep it is. And now I could do a lot of preaching here from this whole chapter. But the whole chapter talks about the power of God. The next chapter talks about the power of God. Chapter 42, 43, 44 deals with the power of God. Matter of fact, chapter 40 is all about his power in the heavens. It talks about how he sits on a circle of the earth. And all the inhabitants thereof is grasshoppers. That stretches out the heavens as a curtain. And he sees it all. He brings the princes to nothing. He tears down the Gentile nations of the world. And the Bible says that he blows on them and they'll wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom are we then likened me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? His power is beyond finding out. His understanding is deeper than we'll ever know. And my friend, there's no way we'll ever really understand how many numbers of stars in the heavens. He knows which one is which. And my friend, and they declare his handiwork. Psalms chapter number 19, I think it is, where I was studying this past week a little bit. Yes, chapter 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It doesn't matter if, my friend, you're sitting on a little island in the Pacific with nobody else around but you. And my friend, when you can look up in the heavens, you might not can speak a word of English or any language even that anybody else could understand. But there's not a language that the stars don't talk in. And the stars and the moon and the skies and the weather around us tell us there's a God somewhere. We've got a great, big, wonderful God. Amen. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth. And their words to to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He is going forth from the end of the heaven and is circling to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Well, I'll say five hallelujahs for Jesus tonight. How more are they to be desired than gold? Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let him not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Friend, his word is a seed not just on the pages of this book, but in everything around us. It's declared in the heavens. It's declared in creation. It's declared, my friend, in our conscience. And I bless his name for that. He calls the host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatest of his might. For he it is that's strong in power, and not one of faileth. I bless his name for that. He's in control of everything.
Amen.
You mean you're concerned about your little bitty problems when you've got such a great big God? Hey, friend. You know why we're so worried about our problems? We've lost sight of God. We've lost sight of who He is and what He is and how powerful He is. Amen. That's why we're swept away by all the stuff that bothers us in this world. It's because we forgot about that demonstration of His power that's all around us. The source of our might, it is to wait upon the Lord. The scope of the might, what reach? What is the reach of this strength that's given to those that wait upon the Lord? Well, if it's the Lord's strength that He gives to us, and the Lord can do anything, my friend, then we can testify with the Apostle Paul that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Isn't that right? If, my friend, everything has been put under His feet in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and we're His body, then they're also put under our feet. Isn't that right? He's given us dominion over these things. Did you know, my friend, did you know that you've got a whole lot more power than what you realize? While you're living your life, the devil treats you like a red-headed stepchild. God, my friend, is all-powerful, and He's willing to stand in your place and in your stand. And my friend, if you'll just let go of it, be still, and my friend, let Him show you that He's God. If you take your hands off the situation, if you just wait upon the Lord, He'll do remarkable things in your life.
Amen. The
scope of His might. God not only has strength, but He gives strength to all those that need it. His strength. Look at verse 29.
He giveth power.
Well, I don't know about you, but when He's giving that out, I want to be found handy. Amen.
I want to have power with God. You can live your life free and just barely getting by if you want to. I want to have power with God. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon me. I want the majesty of God to abide in my life. I want the moving of the Holy Ghost to rest in my life. I'm interested in having power with God. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes, friend. And then, my friend, he said, and when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses or witnesses unto me. And my friend, you want to be a witness? You, my friend, want to have influence with others? You want to shut the mouth of foolish and ignorant men? You need the power of God resting in your life. If That's not your influence you need. That's not your knowledge you need. It's not with enticing words of man's wisdom that we convince others and shut the mouth of the gainsayers. But it is, my friend, in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my. He giveth power. I thank God for that. But notice who He gives it to. He didn't seek out the mighty man. He didn't seek out the great man. He didn't seek out the wealthy man. But He sought out the weak man. He giveth power to the faint. I'm glad He gives power to the weak, to the faint, to the unable, to those deficient of strength. It is in weakness that I am made strong. I would have nothing, that's when I can be used by Him, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I bless His name. He gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weary. I'm not feeling to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. He gives power to the weak and to the weary. He not only gives strength to those who have no strength, but He gives strength to those that have run out of strength. Have a faith that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Have that word renew is a beautiful word, which literally means to exchange, to make a trade. The Christian life is not just a change life, it is an exchange life. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Y'all probably all write that down somewhere in your Bible in boldface and italicize it and highlight it somewhere or another. Amen. The Christian life is not just a change life, it's an exchange life. It's His life for mine. Amen. I gave Him my life, and He's given me His life. My life was temporal, His is eternal. And my life was lacking, His is sufficient. Mine was sinful, His is righteous. Mine was earthy, His is heavenly. Woo! And mine inherited. And my friend through a power's gene. But thank God, His is all powerful. Oh, yes, I bless His name that I exchange life.
Back. I don't know if I've even mentioned this around here. Back a year or so ago, I kept hearing these and seeing these ads in the paper and online such for this Ancestry.com business. Y'all ever heard of that stuff? Where they have to go online and try to figure out who all was dead that used to be in your family. And you can trace down your family tree and see if anybody ever hung from the neck or the tail, amen, from your family tree. And I ain't never found none of mine hanging from their tail. There's several that didn't hang from the neck, amen, but no monkeys in the family. And I praise the Lord that Darwin was wrong about that, amen. Me in the image and likeness of God, but I look back to try to figure out what the origin of the name Powers was. Of course, you know how it is. You'd like to figure out something impressive or something, you know, maybe royal or regal or whatever. And to begin to trace it back, and this much I did find. The first Powers is here in the States. We're here in the state of Georgia. And they came over in the 1700s with Oglethorpe and the rest of them that began to settle in Savannah and make for the first colony here in the state of Georgia. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? I mean, tracing back to the days of our founding fathers until you realize the state of Georgia was a penal colony. Amen. Everybody that came over with Oglethorpe was either soldiers or they were criminals. Amen. And most of them were criminals that were in debtor's prison. And then I trace a little deeper. The name Powers comes from a Latin root word which means impoverished, or to be in poverty, to be broke, to be a pauper, to have nothing, to be barefooted. And to look back at my family come over here, and my friend barefooted, in debtor's prison, and my friend without a dime in their pocket, had nothing of their names. And when I inherited the power sheen, and my name means I'm a poor boy. That's the life I got from my daddy. I was bankrupt because of my father. You listening to me? Jesus didn't just change my life. He exchanged
changed my life. I gave Him that life of death and impoverishment and bankruptcy. And He gave me the life of Christ. And my friend, He who was rich and for your sakes became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. I exchanged my life. Well, and friend, it renewed me and gave me strength to stand.
And I continue unto this day by the grace of God, what Paul said. Amen. What about that? I don't know where your name comes from, but I know what your gene is. It's bankrupt, impoverished. Amen. And a pauper just like mine are. But thank God there's a heavenly gene. Hey. I made mention this morning how that it was that I think I did this morning how it was that how Benjamin was the next son, the only other son Pastor Joseph. And that Joseph had all those other brothers that were half-brothers. But only Benjamin was a full-blooded brother. And now Joseph and Benjamin, Joseph's name means God shall add another, or He'll add on to. And God did add another, and He gave Benjamin. And the elder brothers were a likeness of Israel. And they were half-brothers of Jesus. And Jesus, my friend, was born into the nation of Israel. His mother was a Jew. His mother was an Israelite. His father was the Lord. Amen. I thank God. But I'm glad there was another after Israel that'd be born. Well, I bless His name. Thank God. And that other one was born somewhere between the time. Hallelujah. That Joseph went to Egypt and the rest of them come down that way where he was. And my friend, have this new son's been born. Have this church. We share both the same mother and father, Jesus. We share the human race with Jesus. But on the other side, our Father's heavenly. That's why He told Nicodemus, and marvel not, a man must be born of the flesh and of the Spirit. As human beings, we only have brothers. And it's not enough. His name, but when you're born again and the Spirit of God abides within you, that makes us full-blooded. Amen. And my blood's not that impoverished and bankrupt past blood. And thank God it's heavenly. I praise His name. It's pure. It's righteous. It's holy. And it is eternal.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, I bless His name. Divine power. He'll give it to those that are weak. I've exchanged my life for Him. The Lord told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I can be renewed in the Lord. I can exchange my weakness for His strength. My insufficiency for His sufficiency. My shortcomings for His perfection. Abraham believed God, and He was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I can give Him my sin, and He gives me His sufficiency.
What about that? It's an exchanged life, renewed, the scope of His might. Divine might through waiting. Definite must of waiting. And then I'm finishing with this. Y'all see how there's no way I can preach this morning, yes sir. The descriptive musing about waiting. Do you know what it is to muse? Some of you know what it is to be amused, to be entertained. But that word amused comes from that root word muse, which means to sit about and dwell and do nothing and to ponder. Did you know it'd do you good sometime to sort of dwell and ponder on what it'd be like if you really waited on the Lord? what He's really going to do in your life, how He's going to work in your life. And verse 31, that's where it is that the prophet finds himself. He's musing upon or dwelling upon or thinking about or meditating about what the Lord will do in his life if he waits for it. If we wait on the Lord, we'll find that in waiting for God, there is soaring power. Amen. That's right. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll exchange strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. One of the most fascinating creatures in the world is the eagle. Here a few Sunday nights ago, I tried to preach on eagles and chickens. And some of you is like that eagle that had been caught, that the farmer had tied down in his barnyard, that is scratching and pecking around in the ground like a chicken, and couldn't see over the fence to see the great big wide world that he was missing. Amen. And you're limiting yourself in everything that God wants for your life. And while you're sitting around trying to scratch and pack and peck around on the ground looking for a worm in your own power and in your own strength, God wants to blow some wind up under your wings and let you soar with the eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And eagles unlike any other bird. Whereas most birds flee from a storm, the eagle seems to long for the storm. Because in the storm, the thermal underdress of the storm can cause an eagle to soar higher and higher than he could under any other condition. And as we wait on the Lord, and as we trust in the Lord, what God's doing is He's blowing up under our wings, and we think we're getting nowhere. And the truth is, we're not doing anything. We're just spreading our wings out. And when God blows, He'll blow us above the storm. He'll lift us up above the shadows and plant my feet on higher ground. I mean, from their soaring power, He'll allow us to fly above the storms. Hey, friend, when a plane takes off from the ground, if it's raining, if it's cloudy, it's rough through the clouds. But if you never get on the other side of the cloud and looking down in the storm, it ain't so bad. And you think you're in a bad spot, but the Lord's just blowing up under your wings. And when He gets you riding high up above the cloud and you're looking down on it, it won't be so bad then. To get there, you got to wait on the Lord. To get that blessing, you got to trust in God. I mean, blessed are they that wait upon the Lord.
It's soaring power. And then I'm going to say it's surging power. Not like a kind that operates. Surging power. Amen. You ever have felt like that you was just where you couldn't go no farther? But all of a sudden something would energize you and you just catch another wind and take off for going again. I'm glad the Lord knows how to give you a power surge. Amen. Oh yes. Thank God, friend. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Now in the last verse, there's the young men, the strongest of the bunch, the most athletic, the most powerful, the ones with the most stamina. They're being weary. They're fainting. They're falling. But here we are in verse 31. We're flying and we're running. Amen. Oh, thank God. While the world says you're going to fall, the Lord says you can fly. Amen. While the world says you're going to be weary, the Lord says walk on, friend. You'll run and not be weary. Oh, He'll give you strength. Waiting on God not only gives us height to overcome our obstacles, but He gives us help to meet our opportunities that come our way. The Lord will give you that extra step you need to get through your situation. That extra boost that you need to make it through your circumstance. You don't know all the trouble I've got, preacher. You're right. But you forgot about all the God we've got. Amen. He'll give you that extra boost. I just can't make it. And don't forget, have you not heard? He's not weary. And you can make it.
Amen.
Run up. Amen. Be not weary in well doing. For a new season you shall reap if you faint not. They shall run and not be weary. There's surging power. There is soaring power. And then I will say, when you go to musing about waiting, you'll find out there's staying power. They shall walk and not faint. There's staying power. That's stamina, by the way. Waiting on God will give you strength to keep going. No matter how hard the strain, no matter how deep the strife, no matter how much the stress, if you wait upon the Lord, He'll give you the kind of stamina that'll help keep you walking when you don't think you can take another step to save your life. Real victory is not in how fast you can run, but in how long you can keep moving. Amen. Notice this fella here. By the way, we preach lots of times like folks after they've been saved a while, that's when they ought to be able to soar. But notice the progression in verse 31 is right the opposite. He starts off flying with the eagles, mounted with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary. Now he's not flying, he's just running. Walk and not faint. He's not running, he's just walking. You know what the truth of the matter is? In our lives with Christ, we start off with flying. Then we end up running, and before it's all said and done with, we're just walking. Getting to heaven's not about flying all the way there, friend. It's just about making the last step of the journey. Amen. That's right. Living for God ain't about being all the time in the fast lane. Living for God just means you're always moving. You're always taking the next step. Amen. Somebody said, I'm older now. I've had some years behind me. I'm in the midst of trials or troubles, or maybe health is not as good as what it ought to be. You hadn't got to fly, my friend, to serve God. You hadn't got to run to serve God. You just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And when you think you've run out of gas, you think you can't make it any longer, you think that there's no more strength or energy left in the tank, He'll renew your strength. He'll exchange your strength with you. And you can step another step. You can walk another mile. Oh yes, I hope we walk the last mile together. Amen. And friend, you can make it the last mile. And when I've traveled my last mile, and I face old Jordan's River, there'll come a time when I can't go any farther. But I'm glad He'll hold my hand as over Death's River I go, and safe I shall be in beautiful heaven. I know I'll be a friend in one of these days. I'll walk the last mile, and I'll hear the gates click behind my heels, and He'll say, well done. And then we'll be glad we live for Jesus. Then we'll be glad we served Him. And you'll say, I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. Amen. He'll give you staying power. Back in the Roman days, the New Testament, they had lots of races. My favorite is the torch race. And the torch race worked this way. Folks would line up, torch in hand and lit. And they'd give the signal for them all to go and they'd run. But unlike other races, it was not the runner who finished first that won. But it was the ones who finished the race with the torch still lit up. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be like that in this way of God. I don't just want to be first and flashy and fast. I want to be filled and fired up. Amen. I want to be fueled by the Lord. I want to finish this race. And I want to finish it with my light lit. I may be on the backside of the wilderness. I may not be prominent, my friend. And that's okay. Just give me my torch. I just want to let my little light shine. Amen. And the world that I'm in, I just want to let my light shine before me, and that they may see a good work and glorify my Father which is in heaven. I want to finish with my lamp lit. I want to finish with the candle burning. Some of you know the story of George Whitfield's life. Great preacher, man. I'm telling this and I'll be done. I've chased a lot of rabbits tonight. I figured since I had only about a third or so of my sermon left, I could do that. And I don't know if that's worked or not, but I've tried to be obedient to the Lord. And some of you remember the story of George Whitfield's life. Great man of God, good preacher man, preached over 300 times that they documented on You Must Be Born Again. They asked Him, how come you preach so much? He said, every time we hear you preach on You Must Be Born Again. Why do you do that? He said, because you must be born again. Amen. And that's exactly right. You must be born again. Brother Whitfield preached 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day, ride 40 miles on a mule. And a friend, he was a tough rascal and preached and declared the Word of God in fields and on the back of the wagon. How that he'd ride on and standing up on stumps and on gravestones, the front steps of the liquor stores, and my friend, the saloons and so forth, and preach with power. And folks would get saved and come into town. And my friend, employers would turn their people out. I'd let them come out in the streets and hear him preach. He went into town the last days of his life. I was preaching like that and found him in a little upper room. And my friend in town to stay in when the day was done. Already preached 4 or 5 times that day, worn out, weary, not feeling well. And some folks began calling from the street. He went out on the balcony there, and they began to say, Brother Whitfield, we didn't get to come out. The boss man wouldn't turn us loose to hear you preach today, and we wanted to hear you preach. He said, I sure am tired. They said, we know, Preacher Whitfield, but we won't get to hear you tomorrow either. Could you just preach to us for just a little while? Brother Whitfield went back in his room and broke off a piece of a candle. I stuck it on a little old board. I went out there with his Bible in his hand. Struck a match and lit up the candle. And he said, I'll preach to you long as a candle will burn. And when the candle burns out, I'll quit. And he preached that night when the candle went out. The next morning, Brother Whitfield never left his room. And finally, they came to the door, knocked on the door. Nobody ever came out. The innkeeper came in where he was and found him. And he was dead, done gone home to meet the Lord. Never even took his shoes and his clothes off. After coming in to the building that night, off of the balcony from preaching. And when they prized open his old clamped up hand, they found a little old piece of a candle that has burned out. And the newspaper put in the headlines, Brother Whitfield preached till the candle burned out. Woo! I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. I want to live for God till the candle burns out. I want to walk with God till I can't go. And when the last step gets here, and me and the Lord will make the last step together. Amen. And hallelujah, when the lights burn out, and when the silver cord is broken, and when the golden bowl is loose, and we go on to meet the Lord, I'll exchange life again, and He'll renew my strength once more. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire or grow old. Woo! I bless His name for that. I'm telling you, it pays to serve the Lord.
Amen. You can keep on going. Just keep on going. I'm burning the candle at both ends. Get in line and join the rest of us. Amen. Just go till it burns out for Jesus. Amen. That's right. I'm finished preaching. You can come on with a song. Julia said it was enough. Daddy's preached long enough. Amen. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The poet said it this way, I could not do it without thee. I cannot stand alone. I have no strength or goodness, no wisdom of my own. But thou, beloved Savior, art all in all to me, and weakness will be power if leaning hard on thee. Blessed are all they that wait on the Lord. If you need to pray tonight and you need His help or strength, I'd invite you to come. Stand to your feet. If you need to talk to the Lord, I'd give you the invitation, special invitation to come and to pray tonight and to cast your care on Him, for He careth for you. Sing when you're ready. If you need to pray, would you come tonight? Find your place in this altar and do business with the Lord. Exchange your life with Him. Let Him renew.
renew your strength.
Amen. Amen.
I can't make it by myself, but I'm not walking by myself. Amen. Chapter 40, he said, I'm going to take the weak man and make him strong. Amen. Oh, anything you are, it's by God's marvelous grace. It's not by your own strength. Amen. Well, yes, if you're anything, it's because God took a dirty, rotten sinner that couldn't even save himself and made some out of it. Not obey the truth. Are you still running? Are you still walking? Are you still flying? Are you still moving? You're still serving? You're still occupying till Jesus comes? Amen. He'll renew your strength and help you if you'll let Him. See, singing, you need to come pray. If you need to come join these in the altar and pray, you come. Sweet Holy Ghost, have you doing the meeting here this evening? Amen. You know, Brother John, here this is first Sunday of the new year. I'm supposed to be preaching one of these get you fired up and want you to go out there and run around and do something crazy messages, you know. One of them motivational things, you know, get you stirred up and running for Jesus, that kind of stuff. And I've come in here and preached to you on the first day of the new year and told you to be still and to wait and to just keep doing what you was last told until you was next told. What about that? You know what's the matter with a lot of folks? They're going to try to figure out something new to do instead of just doing what's right to do. 2012, you know what y'all are doing? You know what would be best if we'd do in 2012? If we'd go back somewhere or another. Somebody said we need to move forward. It'd be good for us if we'd go back. We can't go too far if we don't go back and get some things we done left behind.
Amen. Progress in our life might be sitting still waiting on the Lord just to do what He needs to do in us. I appreciate it. Have you obeyed the Lord, done what God would have you to do in the meeting this evening? Take some time to fellowship. Wednesday night we'll meet at 7:30. And we're looking forward to that. You can be dismissed, and I appreciate you coming.